Here in Cape Town. Het is een groot voorrecht om je te en ons sien uit om te horen wat die Heer op je hart gesit het.
Thank you, Retief. It's great to be here. I just realized again, we're family. I'm there at Shofar Century City. Also involved in Shofar Gardens a bit. And been here at Tableview many years ago. We were still in the boxing club. Some of you will remember. So it's just an honor to be here, and at the same thing as Retief shared, just to thank everybody for coming early and the guys that's here getting church ready. Obviously, we also started last year, September at Century City, where church asked us, the Shofar group, to help them out. Their pastors went away. So me and my wife were involved in Delft on the Cape Flats for a year. And I was on my way to Jordan, and I tell her, I still remember I went to her and I said, we are going to move somewhere, you must pray. Because she said we must move to Delft. If we're busy in Delft, we work there, we must go and stay there. And she was prepared to take everything there. We've got three kids. Gustav is 6, Samuel just turned 5. Okay, Gustav is almost 7. But you don't confuse the gap there. Samuel 5 and Lucy is 2.5 years old. So, in any case, and then the next day, the Tuesday, I was in Jordan with Pastor Fred, and he got an SMS. He said, Yaku, you just got a new church. So he just made a joke about it, but for me it was just great how God works, how he prepared my heart, and we already knew more or less what's coming. So we're fortunate to be there. So obviously for me, coming to church, I'm so aware that it's family, we're all working together, building God's house. And I'm excited about this area specifically. Just driving here, there's so many houses, so many people, it looks like things are still expanding. So there's lots of people to reach. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to pray for us. Father God, I thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord. It's not by chance that we are together this morning. It's part of your plan for each one of us. And Father, we are here because of you. We are here to worship you, to give you all the honor and the glory that you deserve. Please have your way in this place, Lord. We pray for open hearts and thank you for your word that does not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I just want to know from the guys if they can show us the clip of Braveheart while they getting it ready. I'm actually Aximan, not Eisterman. I think Eisterman is that's another level. Jose, you can play. Yes.
Can't be. Not tall enough.
The Almighty says this must be a fashionable fight. It's drawn the finest people. Where is thy salute?
For presenting yourselves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, you give homage.
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Paul, the English are too many.
I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny.
have come to fight as three men. And three men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run.
And we will live. Die. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Something that I've been challenged with the last while in following Jesus is just if I just continue with my life as it is now, don't grow, don't change anything, how is it going to look many years from now? If I look back and I say, okay, from this day I didn't change a thing, would it be good? Would it be, what would have happened? And that's just my, where I'm talking today a little bit about the cost of following Jesus. For me, it's so worthy of fighting the good fight, of giving everything and changing all the time. Usually they will say that we only change if the pain that we're experiencing now is less than the pain required to change. Or it's more, sorry. If the pain you experience now is more than the pain required to change, then we change something. Then it's easy to change. You say, okay, it's not going well now, I must do this, so I do it. But sometimes there's a change required in our lives that actually going to cost us a bit. It will cost us more than what we're experiencing now. Because we can just go on with our lives and we can think that we're living forever and we're happy and everything is fine. But everything might not be in place. And that's why God comes and He says, I give you life and life in abundance. I give you everything that you require. So just for me, when I come back, we had a little bit of a family holiday. Coming back with my kids, the geyser was off. Obviously, we put the water on. And Gustav is getting in first. He said, Daddy, what is going on here? It's cold. I say, boy, that is lukewarm. He said, I hate lukewarm. And then he realized, and obviously I had an opportunity to share him a bit about lukewarm Christians. And it made sense. He said, Daddy, but we can do nothing with lukewarm water. I said, exactly. We need to be on fire. We need to be hot. Then things can happen. We will see God working. And I just realized that there's a boldness that will come into our lives when we realize who Jesus really is. When we realize the God that's with us. Then we can operate in boldness and we can trust God for many things. Sometimes I'm talking about myself. I'm just a little bit, what if they say this? What if they say this? What's going to happen? I say, well, if I don't do anything, then they're not better off, I'm not better off, so we're all this, it's not a great place to be. So, it was nice, obviously, the words about Egypt and everything and the pyramids. And I'm just thinking that the Israelites, they left Egypt, they went into the desert, and after a while, things just got a bit tough, and then they wanted to go back. And so actually it was not so bad in Egypt. That's what they thought. It was not true, but they thought that. Because things got a bit tough. And I actually, for some, this is a short moment. I thought after I got married for many years now, and then my wife and I, we had a major fight and say, man, maybe I should have stayed single or what? Things are just simple. And then I realized, no. Bad thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. It's not true. It is definitely, and then when Gustav came, Lee shared the other night at the parenting course that there was a time when she wanted to give Gustav back to the Lord. And I said, Lord, this is so tough. It was tough. He was really a strong-willed child. He had ons gewerk on the ice. I come home, baby crying, wife crying. It's not great. And it's tough. But I realized that this is where I must fight this battle. God has blessed me with my boy. He's blessed me with an amazing wife. And we must work it out. Eyster slaap eyster. And there's a place where God wants us to be, life and life in abundance. And we must work for that. Yesterday I was running the Rebecca Steele marathon. And it was raining. Jeez, I was praying a lot. After 32 Ks, I started praying. I prayed all the way till the end. Because my knee started pain, and then I thought, yo, I'm going to cramp in my calf muscle. I said, no, this is not on. I can trust God for healing. And then I think maybe I must just get more energy, Coke or juice or whatever. But what I wanted is, as I was running that last while, the last 10 Ks, because then I realized that, okay, I can actually run my target time, but I cannot walk. If I'm going to walk any way here till the end, I'm not going to make it. And then I thought, geez, but walking will be so lekker now. It's going to be great. I can walk. There's more than enough time. There's lots of people behind me. So I can just enjoy the moment. And it was just all these things going through my mind. And then there's another uphill. I said, I can just walk up here. And I think, no. And that was counting the cost. That was almost a little bit like, I can just opt out. I can just stop. I can just walk. But there's actually something ahead of me that I can go for it and I can make it. And in a sense, that is also a Christian walk. There's a prize at the end. There's something that we live for. There's something that we're going for. But along the way, it's not always easy. The easy thing is just to opt out, but it's not the best thing. It's not the right thing. And often we must help each other and stand together and say, listen, buddy, are you okay? Let me come along you. Even at taking over the church in Century City, there used to be a lot of people, obviously part of the previous church, and then when their pastor left, some of them stayed, obviously some of them went away. And then I got involved. Obviously they didn't have any small groups. So that's just what I want to share. Then the small groups, after 7 months, I just had one small group at my home every night. And then it's 20 people or 25 people, and just growing from there. And then I soon realized that people that's attending small group, they just going so much faster in their walk with God than the rest, just from the community, just from talking to one another, praying for one another, standing together, nothing, just the simple things of helping one another. And that's, for me, it's so blessed when we come together now, because I tell the guys, each one bring a different gift. So if I don't come, or somebody else doesn't come, it's not like you don't come to small group. It's actually other people also missing out on your gift and what you are bringing. That's just on the side. But often we just think, okay, I can stay away. And I realize that it's not only me staying away, it's other people missing out on what I can bring. So some of you are sitting, I just feel that you think you don't have a lot to add, but God is putting something inside of us that's a blessing to other people. There's a plan for your life, and there's gifts and things that He put inside of you, and that the body of Christ actually needs that gift. So it's good that you're here, you're at the right place, and we do it together. I'm just going to read quickly out of Luke 14. Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to him, as Jesus is walking, all the people followed Him, and He turned around, and He said, if anyone comes to Me and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. And He went on, Luke 14, verse 28, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, he is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the others is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be My disciple. I'm just going to read that for now. Just in the beginning, the crowds following Jesus, obviously they loved the miracles, they loved everything, the teaching, they loved all the good stuff. Suddenly Jesus is turning around and He's speaking to all these people. So it's great that you're coming, it's great that you're here, but there's a cost involved in being My disciple. There's a cost involved. And there He used the word hate. In Matthew 10:37, we see the same piece of scripture, but there the verse is, he who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. He who loves sons or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. And we see that word hate is also used at other places in the Bible, where Jacob was working for Laban, and first Leah and then Rachel. The same word is used in that story as well. So it's basically meaning love. If you love Me less, then you love your family, that you love your brother or your sister, then it's not right. Jesus wants all of our hearts. He wants to be our first love. And that is the essence of this story or this parable. And that is what the challenge is for us, is to love God with all of our hearts. And that's what I'm also just praying over this, working through these things, because it's easy to tell God that we trust Him or that we love Him with all of our hearts, and then there's a practical side to it, where we'll get tested. When I was in Clancy on a mine town, my wife was at that stage working as a chemical engineer. She's just at home now and loving it. She often tells me it's much easier to work, this for her now. It's easier for her to work than to stay at home with the kids. And she do some work over the internet, because at the work she can, everything is organized, and she knows exactly kiddies are all over and stuff happens and other challenges. But any case, while we were there, I was working as a programmer, and we really felt God telling me to move back to Cape Town to come and work for Shofar Church. So I resigned and Lee resigned. And I always used to say that I trust God for our finances. I believe in God. He will provide for me and everything. And then when I started here, okay, this is now many years ago, it's not currently like that, my salary was equal to the savings we had every month. And I said, geez, this something is not right here. Maybe this is after tax or before tax. So I sent them a mail. I said, is this before tax or after tax? They said, no, it's before tax. I said, okay. So we will go into a new level of trusting God. Because I always used to say, no, I trust the Lord, but the Beers gave me a house, the Beers gave me everything. They gave Lee a nice salary, they gave me a nice salary. If the door doesn't want to close, you just phone, you put in a job card, the whole team come out, they fix your door, and it's done. Easy. Yes. So there's no real stuff. And then we were here, suddenly a different story. And I realized, whoa. But God just came through in amazing ways, providing for us. I can't even go through all the stories. Through my life. That's just how amazing God is. He's not a respecter of person. So what He's done for me, He will do for you. For each one will have your own testimonies, your own war stories, as I call it. And that's just the amazing God that we serve. But that for me was a challenging time. Then after that, I opened the outdoor shop. Took a lot of savings, put it in there, and then my partner said, no, he's not going to go with me. He went out. So I said, oh, no. So there I'm on my bed, crying again for the Lord, saying my life is going to end. Because what now? But I just went on, and then a few things changed. And I even met Pietri back then, many years ago. And just God's faithfulness throughout everything. Because all that I did, I didn't make all the right decisions, but I moved to the conviction of my heart that I believe this is where God is leading me. And this is what I must do. So I moved with that, and then God told me, what's in your hand? I said, I can program. Because then the outdoor shop also was not going well for many reasons. And then I started programming again before many years later I joined Shofar in 2012. And I'll chat a little bit about that. So in our walk with God, there's different things that we believe that we must do, different things that we will go through, or we have a conviction of something. But it's not always going to be easy. But following God is the best thing. That is where life and life in abundance is. What we think, for myself as well, I want to follow the Lord with all of my heart and everything. And then others, I also want my life to be, everything must be sorted. I must be in a nice house and the kiddies must be looked after. My wife must be happy and a lot of other things. So now I try to balance the two. I want to try to balance my happy life and following God with all of my heart. And those two, I'm not saying following God you're not going to be happy. I'm just saying there's a part of our hearts that you want everything to be sorted, everything to be good, all the worldly things, and then there's a part that, and Jesus said, give me your life, give it to me. And I will give all of myself to you. And you will have life and life in abundance. So I think I don't have a revelation yet of that life and life in abundance. If I'm still trying to work out a few things on the side for myself, trying to hold back on things. And slowly, God is just giving me, well, maybe a revelation or conviction or whatever, of just something that I want to operate in. Because I thought that if I can, full-time ministry is always on my heart. I believe this is my place where I must be. This is my calling, where everyone's got a different place, where you must be, where you're going to be used by God. But now I'm here, and for a while I thought, okay, great. I'm now at Shofar again, working as a pastor. And then the other day, the Lord has challenged me, okay, Yaku, so what are you trusting me for now? How are we going to move forward? Because it's not like I've arrived now and I can relax. It's just part of the journey. It's just part of my walk with God. So I'm trusting God for a few other things, and it's going to cost me a bit. Maybe just going to cost me to have faith, to step out in boldness. to do different things. Really on my heart is to engage with people. So on Thursdays, I try to take the train to work just to get between people. My office is in Cape Town. And this is something that God laid off my heart, but then I neglected it a bit because it's much easier just to take my bike and no traffic. Last time I had traffic was in 2008 before I started riding a bike. So now I'm thinking, okay, train schedules and things, and hey, it's not always. Then the train is delayed. I think, okay, I believe this is what I must do, so I'm going to do it. And there's people, so I just trust God for divine connections. And then there was this lady, the one, I just tell her just a short bit. She was getting out of the train with me, and there was a guy sitting there that used to be in church with me, and now he's in church with her. But she moved, and they're not together anymore. They just saw each other on the train, and he just said, "Yaku, meet Janine, Janine, meet Yaku, cheers." And we got off, and I started talking to her, and she said, "Ach, she's so sad. She's looking for a church." And, well, I'm a pastor, so. That is your best one ever. She doesn't know where to go. And I said, "Man, you can come to my house tonight." And I said, and she said, "But how are you going to get home?" I said, "No, I'll just walk home." She said, "No, I'll give you a lift home." So she gave me a lift to my house. And I said, "Okay, tonight, you just come back later. We have small group here. And rest is, yeah." She's in church and going really well. God really came through for her. For me, it's amazing because I trusted God for divine connections. She trusted God to, that something in her life will just start working out, that they can get a church where they can slot in. And God just moved everything and worked it out. So I'm just amazed at how God works. Our people is just on God's heart, always. Just quickly about that piece that I wrote in Luke 14:27. "Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." In those days, people that were about to be crucified, they carried the cross on their backs and they were walking the streets. So it was quite obvious what's going to happen. It was there for everyone to see. Everyone was aware of the fact that this guy is bearing his cross. And for me, what I just thought about is when we are in the marketplace, when we are at home, at our work, anywhere, we must not be ashamed of carrying our cross, of saying who we are. I can tell you, if you're at the braai and everybody is chatting like her and they say, "So what do you do?" And I say, "I'm a pastor." And they say, "Ooh." Then it's a different story. I said, "Come on, man." The other day again, I said, "Come on, why now? Why? What's different now?" "I'm a pastor. You've got something else that you do." But now suddenly they think you must live a different way. I don't know what. "You can't drink the beer." Suddenly the beer's down and everything. And I said, "Jeez, man." I want to actually just say God died for sinners. We're all sinners. That's why Jesus came. He's not intimidated by what we do. But we must be able to, just to be bold, we follow God. This is what we do. And the world is waiting for people that's just, they're just real. They're just honest. My wife met somebody in the park, a guy just there with the children. By the way, it's so easy to connect with people once you have children. Often they just come to you from all over. "Oh, cute baby," and such a nice tool. And this guy, just from children's church now, Lee prayed for him for 3 months. I actually forgot. We had him in our house, And I forgot about him, but Lee prayed for him for 3 months, and one day he just phoned and said, can he come to church? Where's church? Because he knew I'm a pastor and everything, but we just connected with him, and now his girl just want to come, his daughter just want to come to church because she loves children's church. And every Sunday he's there, and he tells me after it, Yaku, I love great speeches. I love it, man. Says, okay. But God is busy with him. God is working in his life. God is busy, and that's good for me. And his daughter is enjoying children's church. That's good. But we must be bold about what's going on in our lives, what we believe, who we follow. And the other side also, when things are tough, say it. Because we're family. We must live this life together. Somebody asked me after Gustav. Gustav was about a year and a half, and somebody came to me and said, are you offended of church? Because we weren't so active anymore during the time. I said, no, I'm not offended. But then I realized I didn't tell people that I'm struggling. On the other side, the people didn't ask. They just assumed I'm offended of church. So there's different things. It's not always comfortable just to tell people, listen, I'm struggling with this. But there's a thing, once somebody is doing it, other people get the freedom to do it as well. And that's also a little bit of dying to ourselves and just allowing God to work, to do what he wants to do. Just quickly, I'm jumping a trust that you follow me. There should be a thread through everything. But I'm just, when I think God's laying something on my heart, I'm just sharing it. Luke 14, when they talk about the verse 28 to 30, just talk about the one guy putting up the tower, counting the cost, what he's going to need, what it's going to be required to build this tower. But I actually want to jump to the king. The king that was, or what king setting out to wage war with another king, doesn't first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet in battle the one that's coming. And for me, that's just talking. The king was there. He had his everything, his castle, everything, and he saw the enemy is coming. He saw there's a big army coming, amazing army. So he checked, okay, this is what I've got. And so I must do something. Either I must surrender and ask for peace, but something must happen. The previous guy just building the tower, he had to choose. He can say, okay, I want to build a tower. I'm counting the cost. Okay, I can't do it. I can leave it. Don't have to do anything. But with the king, and I believe with us, it's different. We are in the world, and the enemy is around us. And he's walking around like a lion. But the enemy is real. And that's the thing. We can't just do nothing. We can't just decide, okay, I don't want to get involved, because you might get bitten. I can't just sit back and say, okay, that's fine. I'm just going to leave it. And life can just go on. And that is what I just realized, that we are in a battle. The enemy is real. The devil is real. But God is also real. And he's the Almighty God. And we must partner with God in this race till the end. And to endure till the end is difficult. Or it's not always easy. Often we'll tell, okay, just give your heart to the Lord, and everything is just amazing after that. Sometimes things get a little bit more difficult after that. But there's an amazing life. For me, the thing that I can hear God's voice, that God gives me direction, that he helps me with decisions, there's a relationship, that's the most amazing thing ever. And I'm so thankful to God for just guiding me and protecting me, often showing me what's going on in situations. And I just love it when God works in people's life and just bring them out of their whatever is going on. You can see and experience the power of God. Many years ago, after a big fight with my wife, we don't fight all the time. We were actually not married at the time. I was just walking through the streets of Stellenbosch and just walk. I think, man, what is going on? I don't understand this girl. And I just said this, she said this, and I don't know, this. So I was walking and suddenly I felt God is telling me a word, Java. So it's not coffee. Petri will know, Java, the programming language. Okay, so I'm walking there and I think, Lord, why are you telling me Java? This is the weirdest thing, out of the blue. So I was carrying that word for many, well, then I prayed about it and I thought, okay, maybe I must study Java. So I said, oh, that is going to be so painful to study Java and to write the international exams and all of that. So then I just left it and I went to Kleinseer. Got married, Kleinseer, that's 3 years. Chauffeur, it was a year. Outdoor shop was another year. Starting programming again, that was 5 years. Still starting a chauffeur again. So in that 5 years of working as a software developer, I've through the years, I'm thinking about Java. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. Because I believe that's something that God told me. It's a word that He's given me, so I'm just going to respond out of obedience, nothing else. And I believe that God will tell us certain things we don't understand why He's telling us, but we must be obedient to the word. So I decided to enroll for my international exam. Obviously, this cost a lot of money. And then I started studying, but now there's children and married and work, and so I studied at night. It was painful. So, and lots of issues through that then, because Lee is very diligent. Just, you work and this. I'm more relaxed. I help her to play more and she helps me to work more. That's how we benefit from one another. So the point of my story, it was very difficult and I studied. I wrote my exam, I didn't pass the exam, then I had to write another exam. It took more than a year of studies and painful. But through that time, I realized at work, I just got much better at my work. Because the guys will ask me things and I've just come across it the previous night while studying for my Java exam. So now my boss is thinking, yes, Jaco, you know a lot. I think, no man, this is just from being obedient to the Lord. Studying Java. And then this small thing started, and I just realized that now I must be more disciplined. I must plan my time better. A lot of things, and also things that were in my heart, maybe a little bit lazy or something. All these things comes out from just being obedient to the word that I thought I must do. And for more than a year, I was busy with this until one day driving home on my motorbike. And then I suddenly got this thought that God is telling me that I can stop now. Like Abraham went to offer Isaac, and when he was there, God said, okay, I saw what's in your heart, and I'll provide the ram, everything. So it was as if God is telling me the same thing. I can stop. So obviously that is a great word to receive. My life is back. But I thought, okay, obviously this is now what I want to hear. But then I tested it and spoke to, well, only a few people that I can really trust with stuff like this. And I felt, okay, I can leave it. And I left it there and it was great and everything. But my point is, during the time that I was studying it, lots of people tell me, Jaco, why are you studying Java? Why are you doing this? The only answer I could give, obviously, my boss told me, I don't need to do this. He said, if you want to do it, You can do it. We're not going to pay for it. Well, they actually did pay for some of it. But initially he said, we're not going to pay for it. We're not going to be involved. You can do it if you want to. Other people tell me, Jaco, there's a calling on your life to go into full-time ministry. Why do you want to study Java? And I said, I must be obedient to what God is telling me to do. And it was painful. But now, looking back, it was actually, it taught me so many things. It showed me so many things. And some of us, we also got things that God told us to do. We don't always understand it. But there's a place of obedience where we walk. And in that place, God is just going to do things in our lives that we can't understand. Looking back now, I'm just thankful for that time. It exposed a lot of things in my heart. We just worked through so many things and everything, but I'm thankful to God for that time. Because the only thing I told the guys that I'm disobedient to something that I thought God is telling me. And I know God honors that. It's almost not about right or wrong. You think God is telling you something, I might get challenged on this. But from that conviction of what God is telling you, you're obedient to God. It's blessing God's heart. Because you see, I just trusted God and said, Lord, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. Okay. I just actually want to read quickly from Matthew 10. Just Jesus coming, he called to him his disciples, and he said, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease, every affliction. And Matthew 10 verse 7, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, that's the thing. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without paying. Verse 16 says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Verse 19, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. 28, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now what I just take out of it, Jesus told his disciples, okay, go into the world. Jesus is the one that commissioned. Today, Jesus is the one that's sending us. He is the one doing the commissioning. He says, go and pray for the sick and do all these amazing things. But we've got Jesus backing. We've got his support. He's behind us. And the amazing thing, he says it's going to be difficult. But trust that I will give you the words in your mouth. And just something that stood out for me. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. And I was just reminded of when Saul was on the road to Damascus. And the light came and he was down there. And the word that God spoke to him is, why are you persecuting me? Not the, why are you persecuting the Christians? Or you can say, why are you persecuting me? So we often say, Lord, it's difficult. People are saying this. These people are saying that about me. And I'm struggling to just be a Christian in this place. But actually, it's God that's taking the persecution. It's the name of God. It's not only about us. And that is the thing. When we go out and we live for the Lord, He is with us. He is the one that commissioned us to go. He is the one that's behind us. He is the one that says, don't be anxious. I'm with you. Seek first the kingdom of God and other things will be added unto you. He's fully aware of what we're going through, fully aware of what's going through in our lives, the persecution that comes, He takes it even upon himself. Where we often, I do the same. I think, Lord, that was tough. That guy said that thing. And God said, well, he said that to me as well. I was with you in that situation. I also took flak. My name was damaged there. And I really want to encourage you guys through that. Because often there's a place where we want to stop and say, it's too tough, it's too difficult. I want to get out. Then I start thinking about Egypt. And there were people making food, or there was something. Even though it was tough, there were some nice things as well. I rather want to go back. But then we lost track of where we're going. If we endure to the end, we will be saved. And we often say it's temporary and everything here on earth, but that is the fact. It is temporary. And I want to encourage you today. What I do currently, I just trust God for a new boldness, and I trust Him for that, just to respond to what He's telling me. But not big stuff, just as I engage with people. Sometimes you feel God is telling you something for someone, just to say it. I feel this and this and this. Okay, and you leave it there. So just trying to be more practical, following the Lord. Because God is real. It's a real God with us. I was in Cape Town one day, walking down past Parliament, a lady standing there on the side, and I thought, mustn't I speak to her? Because somehow God just highlighted her. Because I trust God to know who to speak to. I just go around from this and then work through everybody. I don't do that. I try to more the Lord highlight or the trust God for divine appointments. So then I thought, this lady, I said, no, I can't speak to her today. So I just walked past. Okay, and then I waited a long time around the corner and I came around again. Ah, she's still there. So I walked the other way. So I don't know what to say to her. So I just walk away. And I waited a long time there. And I thought, maybe she's gone if I come back. So I walked past again, still standing there. I said, okay. So I walked up to her. And the only thing I said to her is, for some other reason, God is highlighting you to me. So I'm just going to tell you this. I don't know anything else what to say. And I don't even know if she, what she... Maybe she thought I'm very weird or something. But sometimes for some people, it changed their life. If someone tells them, God highlighted you, and I can't get you off my mind, I must just tell you this, that I can actually just go on and go back to where I'm going. That was all that I had to say to her. Nothing amazing, nothing else. Maybe it changed their life, I don't know. Often we will do things that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the outcome of it. But we just respond. And just last story of my life, before I came into now where I am now, working for church, for me the most difficult thing was to count the cost. Just to pray over it. Obviously things are going to be a little bit different. I tried to figure it out in my mind. How it's going to be. I had my experience from many years ago where my salary was really small. Well, that's all. Now it's much better. So, but I had a word many years ago where I felt God's telling me, this is my place, this is where I'm going to go. And years later, Pastor Sias in Stellenbosch, he just asked us, what did God tell you that you must still respond to? Is there something? So I was praying and suddenly this thing popped up again. I said, no, Lord, this is not the time for that one. I forgot about it and my life was lacquer. And I was just crying. And I told Lee that we must pray over this thing. We must settle it in our hearts. Because I want us to walk together in unity. So we prayed to it. Few months until it was settled. But I was going to work, and I know if someone asked, because I didn't want to go to the church, hey, I feel I must work for the church, and so are you going to employ me, or what? I just left it. Just praying, and until it was settled in our heart. And one day Pastor Ross came, and he said, Yaku, we want you to come into the ministry or work for the church again. And at that time, it was easy. I said, okay, must I resign? I can resign tomorrow. Easy. But they didn't know that the things that we prayed about, the things that we worked through, counting the cost. But for all of us, there's different things that God is putting in front of us. For me now, that's wonderful. I love what I'm doing. I love it to be here. Because I feel this is the right place for me now. Sometimes there's other demands and things. Not always easy, but it's satisfying. I can see God's provision. I can see everything. But each one of us, we've got a place. And often we will have to count the cost. Just of following the Lord. Just of following Jesus. Responding to the words. Responding to those things that He's going to place in our heart. He's going to drop stuff in your spirit as we pray, as we walk with the Lord. And I really want to encourage you guys through that. My biggest breakthroughs was just responding to what I believe God is telling me. And just see how He comes through, and I stand amazed. Because often it didn't look possible. Often I thought, man, just starting my work as a programmer, I'll quickly tell you this, I'm finished now. I didn't do any programming for quite a long time. Now God is telling me, okay, what's in your hand? I said, I can program. So I went back to the company I used to work for. But this time around, they put a massive test on the board. I thought that they're going to say, hey, Yaku, good to have you back. Let's go. They said, no, you're going to write code for us, and you're going to answer all these questions. And I knew, Lord, I'm in my chops. I'm finished. I didn't write any code for a few years. So obviously they put it up, and I said, I don't know. They asked me this question. I said, I don't know. Ask another question. I said, I don't know. But trust me, just take me, and I will work for you. I will figure it out. If I must Google it, I will Google it. I will pray for it. I'm your man. They said, no. They sent me home. And I said, no, this is tough. But I believed that I must go to them for an interview. It was such a bad experience. But what happened after that, the HR lady, I had a good relationship with her, and she just sent my CV to other guys that used to work with me. And she said, Yaku is looking for work. Maybe you guys can use him so you can get him for an interview. And I'm praying and praying. So, Lord, you said what's in my hand. I said, programming. I felt I must go for this interview. It was bad. And then a week later, they phoned me. I walk in there at the other place. I said, hi, remember you guys? And I said, yes. They said, yeah, you used to work for that company. So, obviously, you can program. We want to employ you. And I said, guys, listen, I can't remember a lot. But then it was just the other way around. They just said, don't worry, we'll take you. And I worked there for almost 5 years. For me, that was just a miracle. Miracle. Even as a programmer, spending 3 days, nothing is working. Then I just pray. I often thought, I must just pray from the start, not struggle for 3 days and then pray. Because then God will give me a line of code and everything just works. And the boss will ask, so what about this? I said, I don't know, you can test it. Maybe it's working. And they tested, it's working. I said, what about this? I said, I don't know, test. I said, oh, this is also working. Oh, this is also working. And I said, okay, Lord, you take the glory. So you can just stand with me. Today I believe this, what I really felt in my heart is some people, they really, you're at a place in your life where it's just difficult. You're just struggling right now, you're losing hope, saying, Lord, this is tough. It's not going how I thought it's going to go. Things are not looking bright. I'm in a difficult situation, but I'm following you. And it's as if you're thinking back about Egypt, thinking back about times, how it used to be, and you're actually not sure about just what's going on currently. And we know there's a cost in following the Lord. It's going to be tough, but I really want to pray with you this morning. Because we're going through good times, we're going through bad times. But following God is the right place to be. And if you're here, maybe you're not, you just want some encouragement. We can pray with you. We can trust God for a word. Because we serve an almighty, living God. That's the one that we serve. And some of us, there's things where God wants to take us. There's a new journey. There's a new place. Was from, I don't want to say from glory to glory, but there's some new things, maybe new battles. But just know that God is the one that commissioned, He's the one that's sending us, He's the one that empowers us. And when we take this persecution, it's Him also taking the persecution. Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing God, Lord. It's such an honor, Lord, to live with you and to walk with you. Such an honor, Lord, that we can hear your voice. I thank you for everyone here. I pray, Father, that, just for your encouragement, Lord, for each one. Pray as they spend time with you, Lord, in their quiet time, they will experience something that they will know this is God speaking to me. In no uncertain terms. Yes, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for those that's really struggling at the moment, that you will encourage them. Might it be from a friend, a word of encouragement from somebody at work, somebody around them, or just from you. In Jesus' name.